Our New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 13, and you can find that on pages 18 and 19 of the New Testament in your pew hymnal. Matthew 17, 1 through 13. The Transfiguration. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright light overshadowed them, and from the clouds a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up, do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." And the disciples asked him, "Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" He replied, "Elijah is indeed coming and will restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but they did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man is about to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them about John the Baptist. Let us pray. Our gracious and most loving God, we thank you for transfigured lives, transformed lives. And we know that that transfiguration that happened so many years ago on top of that mountain was eye-opening to Peter, James, and John. Lord, I pray our eyes will be opened. I pray that our hearts and our minds will also be opened to receive your word. And Lord, I pray that the words that I bring forth this morning are not my own, but yours and the message that you have for each of us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Has there ever been a time in your life when you said you would never do something, and then unexpectedly you did? Has there ever been a time in your life when you said you would do something, but then you didn't? Did you ever find that whether you did or didn't, the unexpected happened? I remember the first time I decided to do a mission trip. It was not far from home. It was being led by a pastor who I loved as a brother in Christ. It was being held at the church of a pastor I knew very well. And it was only for a week. I had my expectations of what this mission trip would be like. I expected us to get there and in the extra rooms of their church, that there would be beds set up for us. And for the most part, there were. There were cots in all of the extra rooms. However, I didn't have the luxury of sleeping in one of those cots. Three of us were set to sleep on the sanctuary floor. The mission was about doing work for people in three particular areas, one of them being in the area in which I was currently serving. It was to do work for people who were unable to do the work for themselves or unable to pay someone to get the work done. The work included such things as maybe replacing shingles on a roof that had blown off, repairing porches, building ramps into somebody's home, maybe going inside the home to do major house cleaning for someone who had been confined to a wheelchair and were no longer able to do that for themselves. However, I woke up that first morning after little sleep on the hard, cold sanctuary floor. And I and three others were given the task of going to a local cemetery and painting outhouses. Now, this wasn't what I signed up for. I thought I was going to be with a team and we would go to someone's home and we would share the love of Jesus in the work that we did. That we would be able to have conversations with these persons and build a relationship to maybe hope that we could lead them to Christ. I thought I was going to make a difference in someone else's life. Well, let me tell you, two of the three other people who were sent to paint outhouses were teenagers. And one of them was mentally challenged. It was me who was made different. It was by the time that I had spent with these young women that I saw the love of God being lived out as we painted outhouses and bonded and talked that my life changed. God knew where I needed to be in that moment. And the unexpected happened. See, that's how it is with God. God shows up at unexpected times and often in unexpected places. We see it time and time again. God was in the unexpected when Moses was brooding in the desert. And God showed up. Where? In a burning bush. What about Job? Job was suffering in deep grief, suffering with a pain that probably most of us couldn't imagine. And God showed up. In his woeful circumstances. Elijah, lying under a broom tree, wallowing in self-pity, thinking suicidal thoughts when an angel of the Lord touched him and gave him food and drink. God showing up when least expected. Saul of Tarsus, one who sought out Christians and killed them, finds himself on the road to Damascus, struck with blindness, only to come to find the Lord, God in the unexpected. But probably the greatest place that we can find God in the unexpected is on the cross. Who would have ever imagined? Now, we have the story, so we can go back and look at the history of what has happened for our salvation and say, yeah, why not? But who would have expected that God the Son would be crucified on a cross? God in the unexpected. Finding God in unexpected places is what our Genesis 28 scripture was about that Pat read to us this morning. Jacob awakes and says, surely the Lord was in this place and I did not know it. Have you ever said those words? Have you ever found yourself thinking, I never expected myself to be in this circumstance? I don't know how I got to this place in my life, only to find God in that circumstance or in that place in your life. Do you remember why Jacob was in the wilderness, why it was that he had to take a stone to use as his pillow? He was on the run. Jacob had lied. Jacob had been deceitful. He had stolen his brother's birthright. He had tricked his father into blessing him instead of Esau. And so on that very first night of his escape, he dreams of a ladder going up into heaven. And I am sure, unexpectedly, God came to him. God didn't only come to him, he made a covenant with him. Wherever you go, whatever you do, I will be there. I will be with you, Jacob, God said. We see it time and time again that God comes when we least expect him. Where are some of the surprising and unexpected places you have found God? I was in a board meeting once. Two of the men in that meeting had very different ideas about what should be done for this situation with the church building and how it was that the issue should be resolved. One of the men became very angry. Let me rephrase that. One of the men became very heated, and he started yelling at the people who were not agreeing with him. The other man stood up quietly, and he said, if you want to allow this man to bully you into doing things his way, you go right ahead. Just know, I will never make another suggestion or provide any help as long as I serve on this committee. All of a sudden, and I wish I could take credit for this, but I can't, a woman of the committee said, why can't we look at it and pray about our options? Aren't we all here to do God's work? Aren't we all here to do what's best for God's church? So wouldn't it make sense if each of you got recommendations and quotes for what you think should be done, and then us bring them back together and pray over them to see what God thinks should be done? God showed up in the unexpected, because after she said that, the atmosphere in that room changed. The tension was gone. Here at Wesley, we are working on our membership roles. Anybody who'd like to join the church, please talk to me. Unfortunately, our membership roles have not been properly cared for a very long time. So letters were sent out. And during this process, we have heard from numerous people. Many who have moved away and have joined other churches, not realizing that their memberships were still here at Wesley. Some who moved out of the area and may not be attending another church, but again, didn't realize that after they moved that their membership would be retained. And there were a few who wrote back. And every person who wrote back did so because they had been hurt by someone. Sometimes even the pastor. I have reached out to every one of those persons. I'm sad to say I have not had any response. But here's my point. That even in the hurt, God is there. Here's the problem. Not only with those who were hurt, but with you and I. Sometimes we are so concentrated on our hurt that we fail to open to God because we're not sure, maybe one, how. Two, we may not be sure that He will be there. God is there. God is there to help us in any circumstance in our life. He is there to help us in our hurt. He is there to bring healing and reconciliation to us. But you know what? God is also there in our joy. And sometimes we fail to recognize that because we want to take credit for it. Let's not forget who God is. We tend to put Him in a box, but He is Almighty God. When Peter, James, and John went out on that mountaintop with Jesus, they didn't expect to have the experience that they had. Jesus transfigured right there before them. And Moses and Elijah appeared. They didn't understand. We know for sure Peter didn't understand, because what did Peter ask? Lord, you want me to build three shelters for you? But then the unexpected happened. While Peter was still talking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him." very Son of God, God himself, fully human yet fully divine, showed the glory that was hidden to be revealed later. Peter, James, and John were instructed that they weren't to tell anyone until after Jesus' death and resurrection. And we know that after his resurrection, they did bear witness, didn't they? They bore witness to countless others throughout the years. And lives were transformed. And that witness has been carried down through the ages. And lives are still being transformed. We are transformed when we come to the very Son of God. We are forgiven of our confessed sin, and we are offered new life in Jesus Christ. When we experience that unexpected love that can only be given to us through the blood of Jesus Christ, our lives are transformed, and we will never, never be the same again. And often that love and that grace comes into our lives when we least expect it. And it continues to come into our lives. It continues to transform us when we are open to God. The decision that was made at General Conference this week has caused a lot of hurt. There were people that I heard from before the conference who said, if this passes, if a one church plan passes, I will be leaving the church. You would be surprised, and I'm telling you, you would be surprised at the number of people I have heard from since, heterosexual married persons who have said, I don't know if I can stay in the United Methodist faith. My brothers and my sisters have been hurt. There are people on both sides of the aisle who are hurting, who are struggling what to do with this decision that has been made. This is a very, very emotional time for our church. We are looking at it as if there are winners and losers. No matter what decision would have been made, and the decision that was made, there are no winners. Any decision would have only brought losers. But what we need to remember is God was there. We need to remember that that special session of General Conference was bathed in prayer. Bathed in prayer from Christians throughout the world, most especially those in the United Methodist Church, but not only. It was bathed in prayer before it even began. There were 3 days of conference, but before it began, there was 1 day of nothing but prayer. So we need to remember that God was there. And we need to trust that this is what God wants for the United Methodist Church at this time. Our district superintendent reminded us pastors, God is faithful, and this is Christ's church. We need to remember that. This is Christ's church, and God is faithful. There are many details to be worked out after this decision, but I say, let's not change who we are in Christ Jesus. As the people of the Tyrone Wesley United Methodist Church, I pray that we continue to love and support and encourage one another as the church works through this. I choose love. I love all people. I love my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. I love those who are not yet here yet. I love those who have not yet heard the name of Jesus. And I know we find that hard to believe when you are in the church and you hear God's name through his son, Jesus Christ. It's hard for us to think that there are people right here in our community who have never heard that name. But there are. And you know what? I even love those who have rejected him. Why? Because Christ loves them. Christ came and died for the world. He died for me. And he has asked me to love my God with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. Sometimes that's hard to do because sometimes I'm weak. Sometimes I'm unsure. Sometimes I can't feel his love for me. But my friends, no matter what issue comes before us, we're never all going to agree. Never. But we can all love. And when we love others as Christ loves us, God will show up in the unexpected. So I just ask that you choose love as well. Amen.